Back in 1988, Francis, you mentioned that your organization at the time, Northern Business Information, which was just sold back then to McGraw-Hill, was approached by the Canadian government to write some policy. Let's hear more about that.
This was one of the more interesting things in my evolution, because we had just sold our company to McGraw-Hill. So my partner and I were about to be freed up entirely from our publishing company. We had published industrial market research on telecommunications. In doing that, we had made some observations about information. And having sold the company, we were now free to kind of think of how we would use those. And the Canadian government walking in the door saying, look, you know, we have an excessive reliance on natural resources. It's not good for our country. We're not going to grow if all we can do is sell lumber and coal and oil. We've got to think of a future in the information age. And you folks, you know more about this than anyone. And all the CEOs in the telecommunications sector worldwide have relied on you for years to make their decisions. So please, can you help us? So we thought, sure. And what we did was to codify our observations. And we created a thing that we called the Iron Laws of Information. Now, I used to study the history of economics and money creation and so on. And back in the 19th century, there was a socialist by the name of Ferdinand LaSalle. And he came up with the Iron Law of Wages, which was kind of like Marx back in the mid to the late part of the 19th century, a big, big deal. And people were all fascinated by this new concept. And what we did was, in making our kind of lighthearted gesture to LaSalle, we codified our iron laws for the Canadian government. And here they are. Rule one is that the velocity of information is always increasing and the cost of information is always falling, whence the information cost velocity curve that we've discussed many times on this podcast. And that is a fundamental force in human history. You just don't avoid that. So in some respects, what we call the iron laws, it's almost like market physics. And indeed, as you go through these, you'll see references to physics and so on everywhere. The second iron law is that the rate at which customers appropriate power from producers is directly proportional to the speed at which information costs fall. So it's a little bit like Marx, who said how, you know, labor would appropriate power from capital. We said, no, that's not what happens on the information cost velocity curve. It's customers begin to appropriate power from producers. And producers have to figure that out and adapt. And the ones that figure it out do well. Facebook would be a good example. And then we went to a famous 19th century, very famous 19th century monetary economist, Gresham. And Gresham had a rule that cheap money always chases out expensive money. So we said, look, on the information cost velocity curve, cheap information always chases out expensive information. So that was our third rule. Our fourth one is one of my favorite rules of physics. It's just a great rule, which is the second law of thermodynamics. So we applied the second law directly. Disorder in the information universe always increases. And you can see regimes all over the world in full panic now, as indeed disorder is always increasing. And the future is in the disordered universe. You know, entropy is fundamental to market physics. And they're panicking because they can't handle that. And then value always flows to those with the highest information velocity. Naturally, function of the information cost velocity curve. Sure enough, information velocity speedster, Apple, with its tiny number of days of sales and inventory and receivables, which is how we measure information velocity, just hit $1 trillion in market valuation. Are we surprised? No, obviously not. Fits with market physics that we wrote down 34 years ago. My Lord, and it's taken this long for the market to figure this out. The sixth, I love physics again, and this is astrophysics, the Hubble effect. And Edwin Hubble said in the earlier part of the last century that the farther a star is away from you, the faster it's moving away. We thought, well, let's talk about this business of distance in market physics. So it came out as an interesting thing. We said, the Hubble effect says that the smaller your information service, that's your ability to capture and market and monetize cyberspace, the faster your customers are moving away from you. I loved that one. So that was our sixth. Our seventh was brutal. And our seventh said very simply, the iron laws in sum always operate simultaneously on any organization, always. So if you are a company or a country like Russia or China or Hungary that is trying to avoid the simultaneous operation of the iron laws, you can forget it because you are just kissing yourself off. You're taking yourself out of the future. It's just market physics. The market physics say that's what's going to happen. That's the way it's going to be. So those are the iron laws of information.
Let's dive deeper into one of these before we move on for today. You mentioned on the second one, customers appropriating power from producers. Yeah, we may see that in the news industry today, healthcare. What industry do you think might be the most susceptible to that iron law, iron law number two, about customers appropriating power away from producers?
I think almost everyone I can think of is susceptible. A great example of extremely susceptible is a company like Sears. Sears backed itself up on the information cost velocity curve. It structured itself in such a way that its customers were able to make decisions independently of its stores. Used to be that Sears was the place to go. You made your decisions in Sears when you were inside, on the floor. Well, today, customers make decisions outside Sears. Customers make decisions on the web as they shop and peruse, and their whole shopping world is completely different. The result is that you get an industry like that that fails to adapt to the power appropriation, and it is dead. Now, Amazon's big struggle Shopify, its big competitor, is to manage that power appropriation and profit power. The smart companies say, we've got to profit from this. We can't just ignore it. So that's one good example I think is easy for everyone to grasp because we all know what's happened to Sears.
Thank you. Tune in next time where we'll talk to you more about one of our other ventures here at Future Creators, Future Creators TV. And to tune into other podcast episodes, visit us at futurecreators.simplecast.com. Thanks, Francis.
Thanks, Robert.